So sitting here with Tim Walston from Orchard Hill Church and Orchard Hill Collective, and just wanting to bring some information, some excitement, some learnings to what it is that he gets to be a part of and many things that I think he can bring to you. And so, Tim, would you just take a second, share a bit about your background, your experience in ministry, especially in the context of cultivating a positive culture? That's what we're going to hit today.
Okay. Cultivating a positive culture. That's good to know. Grew up here at Orchard Hill Church, actually. Started coming here when I was in like the third grade. So back in the 80s, yeah. We'll give you a rough estimate.
And 43 as of yesterday.
Hey, watch it. Yep. Let's see. After a while of family attending, and my mom, who was a preschool director for many years, started as staff here as a children's ministry director. And she was here for, I think, 15 or 18 years. We actually overlapped as staffers for a while. So that was cool. So not like an official PK pastor's kid, but definitely grew up around the church a ton. And got into music and soccer a ton in junior high and high school. And into my college days, pursued the music aspect. And it was around then that kind of the whole contemporary worship music movement was happening, early 2000s. And
like Shout to the Lord and all that.
Yes, exactly. I could sing of your love forever. Yep. Delirious, this crazy worship team from a church called Hillsong that nobody knew about at the time. So that kind of launched my trajectory of really finding a passion for music and Jesus and combining that into the worship music. Did some interning while I was a college student with youth ministry, and got really excited into that. Went through college, got a degree, business administration, and some finance minor stuff. So
totally fitting for worship.
Yeah, totally fitting. And that was mostly because my I felt like my parents, you know, really needed me to have a backup in case the music gig didn't work. So, but I did that and moved down to Nashville for a hot minute after graduation, and did the music thing for a while before felt called back home. Been here at Orchard now on staff for just over 20 years, full-time, did junior high ministry, overall student ministry stuff, junior high through college, and started a worship ministry that was led by students. So I kind of, that was my first music ministry position, was leading our student ministry teams. And now for the last 10 years, been overseeing our worship ministry department, and then production and programming.
Yep. And we've been able to work together because of what you do here, bringing your teams, the things like Power Connection, Rocky Mountain High, Recon, all those kind of things. And as we've spent time around you, something that is very, very relevant to our conversation here is the culture that you've created, but the passion that your team brings to different things. So where does that come from?
Yeah, good question. I'm very much a, what do they say? If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And so I can make decisions on my own. I can spearhead new things or whatever, but really I actually find the most joy and passion and excitement when I get to do something with others. And so I guess I'm kind of always defaulting to finding people that are passionate and excited about similar things as me. And over the years, just definitely have found other people that are excited about Jesus, excited about music, and have gifts. And so it's fun to bring them along. And I'd say really started shoulder tapping people, mostly like college age folks that I saw a passion for faith, their faith in Jesus, and also had musical gifts and skills, and kind of tapped them on the shoulder and like, hey, you want to be serving on worship teams. And then, you know, after that, see if they get excited about that or not, and really have an eye to kind of reach out and invite people to learn more behind the scenes as to like, not just showing up and serving on the team, but hey, do you want to learn like why this song and why not that song, and all the behind the scenes stuff that goes into kind of the worship ministry stuff. And that just fires me up, like being able to share the little bit that I do know with other people and then being open to learn from them as they try new things. And so really, over the years, just cultivated kind of a worship ministry internship and cultivating other young worship leaders and older worship leaders to come alongside so that we don't have like a single personality leading worship and music at all of our venues, When we started the contemporary music here back in high school, I remember there was like the young band and then there was the old band, and it was just easy. Like that was not healthy
Right,
for the
right.
church, right? Because yeah, everybody'd be like, oh, it's so and so, or oh, it's that band and this band. And like, oh, it's gonna be too loud today, and oh, we're gonna play some hymns today. And so I've just over the years found a desire to unite our church body here, by making sure we're not personality driven. And so I think that's actually something that now I've learned over the years at Orchard is pretty unique about us. We don't have a senior pastor. We have a senior leadership model with three senior leaders. We don't have a teaching pastor. We have a teaching team. We have a host team. We have a worship team. And so, like some pros of that is not all the weight and responsibility falls on one person. We get to share it. And when we're sharing that, I think we're actually more effective together. Believe we're better together. And also we're more like being able to spread out that responsibility. Like everybody can, it's easy to take time off and it's still like an Orchard, you get the collective experience regardless of who is actually leading a song or who's at this event or who's not. So, I think that's more healthy to operate for everybody, especially individually.
For sure.
And then there's less like favorites, I guess. I mean, you always might be drawn to somebody's personality or style or whatever. They call me the old man Jenkins hype guy. And
And
yeah, I'm the oldest one usually on stage, but I
if you've
do
been
like
at our events, you see that Tim is
yeah.
actually stretching and sweating more than anybody
Oh
else.
yeah, full hammies all the time, go through so many different shirts and everything. But I just love it. Like that's my personality of, we always say worship for us in the collective, we define it as our response to who God is and what he's done. And so when I think of the freedom to live with nothing to hide, nothing to prove, nothing to lose, my response is like, let's have a freaking Jesus party and let's go crazy and wild. Obviously not everybody on the team responds the way I do, which is great because not everybody responds the same way. So
And how do you do that as a leader then when you are kind of driving the mission, the vision, the goals behind it? How do you get everybody else on board with that?
good call. So yeah, that culture is really important, and really it's not like my vision or my culture or my mission, it's the mission. And so for Orchard Hill Collective being based out of Orchard Hill Church, we tag into the mission that we feel God has called our church for. And what's great about that, what's unique is that that mission is for our church body, and that's a different mission that God calls the church down the road or across the street or across the state or the country. And so it's not a competition. It's like, let's lean into the gifts, the strengths, the passions, and the specific calling that we feel God has called for us. So I can align with our mission of helping next generations encounter and follow Jesus to bless a broken world. And so we're looking for folks that are already like I'm looking for teammates and partners that are already bought into that mission. And then it really, to bring them in on that culture, it's like, hey, this is what we're about. And I'm going to keep people around me that are really aligned with, I talk about like four different C's. So whether they're volunteers, whether they're going to be interns, whether they're potential staffers, or just a new person interested in joining the junior high ministry band. There's four C's that we always think about. And the first one is culture, then chemistry, then competency and character. Those are the four. Culture, chemistry, competency, and character. And so, first of all, I mean, character is obviously who that person is, their personality and their character, morals, values, that kind of stuff. We don't have a checklist of like, hey, you have to be baptized. Hey, you have to go to church this many times a week. Like, none of that. It's more just like their attitude. Are they humble? Are they committed? Are they coachable and willing to serve? So we want those attitudes because those qualities we know we can work with. If they're humble, if they're hungry, ready to serve, if they're coachable. And so that's kind of the culture we're looking for. We're not looking for, I like to call them the divas, the superstars, the ones that only show up when you ask them to serve, the ones that are always asking, when do I get to lead a song? So we're like, actually, it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about God. And so we don't have whatever solo pieces, or we don't have focused special things very often because we don't want to highlight the person. We want to highlight the reason that we're here to respond to God. So then we have chemistry. Chemistry is just like another word for hangability. Like, do you vibe? Like, some people are just easy to hang out
Do you
with.
fit with our team?
Do you fit with our team? Exactly. When I was getting into the music biz down in Nashville, that's actually like some of the interview process with some different bands was like, what's your hangability? One of my best friends back from high school, he's the lead guitar player for Toby Mac. He's been with them for over 20 years now.
T Rose.
And yeah, T Rose, he was telling me, he's like, yeah, I go in and he shredded the guitar parts on the audition along with probably 300 other people because that's how many amazing musicians are in Nashville. But it was really the hangability, that chemistry factor that's like, okay, now are you someone we can like see ourselves hanging out with on a tour bus for 200 days out of the year, you know? Because you want to be around people that you enjoy.
Yeah, for sure.
And so that chemistry is super important. And not that everybody has to be like you, but can we and
Can
like,
we like you?
yes, exactly. And like, do we enjoy spending time together and doing this? Because then, like, I really feel like if you're able to have fun together, if you're able to, like our rehearsals, whether it's volunteers or the collective, it's like we want to spend time in God's word together, engage the Bible. We want to, yeah, worship first and foremost. We want to belong together and invest in each other. And so, hanging out, having fun, praying together, engaging in the Bible, that all helps us be more effective ministers of pastoring people into His presence through music. When we actually know, love, care for each other, and like each other. And so you can see that, I think, authentically if you watch us when we're leading worship on stage. Like, sometimes I'm just smiling around because I see people in the crowd that I just want to smile at and connect with. But I'm also just like turning around and having fun and smiling at my friends because they're doing what I love to do with them. So that's chemistry, culture, character, and then so competency is actually like one of the lowest things that we go for because it's the easiest to teach. So I can teach people how to play drums. I can teach people guitar riffs or how to use, you know, tech equipment. Am I an expert at those? No, but I know other people that are, so we can connect them. Culture, chemistry, character, those are the things that are hardest to like teach someone. So not it takes time to get to know people. Thinking of like our internship process here, most people that we tap into, like, hey, would you like to join maybe into a leadership role, internship, learn more about taking on some roles of responsibility and leadership. Those are all people that have already been in our like volunteer system or worship teams for a while. So does that limit who we work with or get connected with? Yes, but I feel like that's a healthy bottleneck that allows us, like, we've had time to see and feel out this person's character, the chemistry and culture, if that makes sense.
No, and it totally makes sense of how you build your teams. I love the four C's. And I think it speaks into just the overall team dynamics. Like, I think that when we've been in the same room together, you can see that play out big time. So how do you actually lead within those team dynamics? How do you communicate? How do you foster strong relationships? Like you said, yes, the hangability is a huge thing, but collaboration, how does that play out? And like you already said, the sense of belonging, but what do the team dynamics really look like for you guys?
Yeah, good question. I was even around here when we at Orchard, church-wise, when we have someone that's interested in joining or learning more about the worship teams, we used to have this whole audition and whatever Google form thing and all this stuff, which we have some of that, but we finally got around to like realizing just come to a rehearsal. Like, most folks that are interested, they've only seen us and been a part of us leading them in worship or seen us on stage in some capacity. And we finally were like, that's the most important thing. That chemistry and culture and character is best seen and modeled like just when we're at our rehearsals. Because at our rehearsals, actually the last thing we do is rehearse. First and foremost, we spend time together, we engage in God's word, we worship together, like not to get ready to lead a song, just like, hey, let's just spend time worshiping together. And then we belong and invest together. So that time of like seeing us play a game together, seeing us share highs and lows, sugars and boogers. I mean, it's our rehearsals are like a small group. And so going through that, or just sharing like, hey, this is what the next teaching series is on and digging into the word. So that's a big thing, is just hanging out and seeing our culture. And what you'll immediately see, this is what I always say, is you'll realize none of us are a big deal. None of us take ourselves very seriously. And we have a lot of fun together. And I actually believe that when you come in and you see like we're all just broken, sinful, messed up, weird people, just like everybody else is, that helps set the tone of none of us are more worthy or authorized to be leaders on stage. We're all sinful and broken and messed up. And so how can we just have fun as a team and be united in who God is and what he's done for us through the gift of Jesus, so that we can be made new, made alive, and help other people experience and party together. And like, we have some funerals around here, but like usually on a Sunday or at a youth event, like it's a party because we're celebrating who God is and what he's done for us. And that's more like a big wedding party, not a funeral. And then just hanging around here, I mean, you're sitting here in my office here at church and we hear laughter every now and then from the wall. A couple of the gals are out of town today, but usually there's constant laughter. Yeah. And we are in the middle of the hallway of this long, long hallway of offices. And my team, we're the loudest and we're annoying and we drive everybody else nuts. But I think they also love it because we just have fun. Yeah. And we got stuff to do and we got to get stuff done. but we just want to be a positive thing. We actually feel like joy and laughter and positivity around here is a unifying message for our church and our body and our team. So breaking things up, we always talk about it's called the Percy model. That's what we call it. So P-R-I-C. And what that means is the P stands for a point. So there always has to be a point person.
Okay.
So I'm the de facto point person of Orchard Hill Collective. Yeah. As much as maybe I wish that it wasn't me for various reasons.
Right.
It is me. And the point person basically assumes and takes on all responsibility for better or worse of event or the team or the ministry or whatever. So that's kind of how we operate. So for all good things, but also bad things, I'm the point person. And when it comes down to like, if we have to make a decision that maybe is a hard one, nobody's wanting to make, like ultimately that's going to be my decision that I have to make across the bear.
Yep.
So then we have R is responsibility. And as a point leader, I can go and ask people for help. Who wants to be responsible for this? Who wants to be responsible for that?
Mm-hmm.
So thinking of like collective stuff, I actually ask some of our collective teams for each event, like, hey, who would want to be like the responsible person for our song bank for Power Connection this summer? And so as a point person, I can find out who's interested and who wants to be a part of the team that's going to create that song bank and craft it.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, I still need to delegate like, hey, Bradley, this year, you're going to be that. Sounds like you have the capacity. You're excited. You're passionate for it. Katie and Hope are excited as well.
Yeah.
But Bradley, you're going to be the final responsible person in making the song bank. Mm-hmm. And that I'm now handing that to him.
Right.
So as the point leader, I make him responsible.
Right.
But then I also have to allow him to make those decisions and not question, because that's and also that part of the point
person. Step out of your lane. Yep.
And just encourage and support and let him know what we need. Then what comes next is there's also consulting. So like, hey, Bradley, Hope and Katie are excited to be a part of that. And so they're going to be some great consultants. I'm free to consult with you too, which means I can share ideas, share input, which he does a great job of consulting and asking people and making times to brainstorm together and vet songs. But then ultimately I'm having him responsible for the song. Amanda, I'd love for you, you love tech and technology and the audio systems and the equipment and gear. Will you be responsible for caring for all our equipment and gear and making sure all the I's are dotted and T's crossed for what we need, from batteries to speakers to guitar strings to, you know, monitors, whatever. So she's responsible for that. And then she consults with other people to make that happen. So we have those things. There's song bank, there's audio equipment, there's travel timeline. Like I'm kind of, I do a lot of that with you, Ryan, finding out like where are we going to be and when do we need to be there and where are we staying and are we getting fed? some of those dad roles, as they say, do we need a rental car or not? And then other people, will take care of like actually crafting the set. So maybe Bradley's doing the song bank, but Katie might be excited to like help craft and discern the song sets for this session and that one, which means now I'm putting Katie in responsible for picking songs for the sessions. I'm going to get her connected with you, who knows the theme and the overall thought for each session. Get her connected with the teacher to find out what he or she is teaching on and themes and scripture. So, so we're sharing weight, but it's always as best as we can, clearly communicated and defined. Here's your area. Here's your lane to stay in. Here's other people you can ask for help that want to help and make them feel included. And then the last one, is the I think I skipped that, but I is inform. So sometimes then we'll inform. So just an example, like you reached out to me, Tim, you got a team that would be up for Power Connection summer 2024. Hey, great question. Let me go consult with my team. So I've got our crew, all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. I find out who's available, who's not. And at some point, I make a decision to you and a commitment. Hey, we're going to do it.
Right.
And then I inform all my people, we're doing this.
Right.
I'm leading a team.
Yeah.
I'm informing you
right.
That I'm taking responsibility to make sure I have a team to go lead worship right. at Power Connection
right.
or whatever. So,
and typically, if I ask, you already know the answer is yes.
Well, I know I want to. But yes, usually yes. I do have a few, like, got to make sure I got
right.
someone to do this, this, and that.
Because yep.
you'd get tired. If it was just me, I would get tired of myself if it was just me.
No, that's good.
So
that's,
I don't know if that helps.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of Bradley Reese, a wise man he is.
Just on the other side of the wall.
Yes, just on the other. He oftentimes will say there's important things and then there's eternal things.
Hmm.
And it's good to identify the difference of those.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we take the important things and make way too big of a deal out of it. And it stresses people out and causes a lot of tension yeah. that really, it's just not that big of a deal.
Hmm.
But then there's eternal things that really yeah. are. And so, like, that helps us even in picking songs.
Mm-hmm.
I love that we have a team that I believe we're better together because we can be more efficient and effective at making really good decisions
right.
with the whole picture in mind of what's actually eternally important mm-hmm. versus what's just, like, I think is important
right.
that
right.
really doesn't really matter.
Yeah, speak into that further, because I think that within any culture, within any team, you're going to run into those issues,
mm-hmm.
those challenges, whatever those could be. So how do yeah, you yeah. navigate those when they come up?
For sure. Really good question. So the first thing I was thinking of is, like, how we pick songs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the hype, crazy, jump around, big fun guy.
Yeah.
And the reason I lead a lot of those songs that we do is because I'm the one that's, like, suggesting those songs.
Right.
Yeah. Because I think they're important to me, you know, and that's part of my story
mm-hmm.
of, like, just letting go and realizing I don't need to care what people think of me. And
mm-hmm.
this is, like, part of my story in high school of growing up in the church and committing my life for my parents, but then finally, like, committing my life for myself,
right.
for Jesus,
yeah.
and, like, realizing I was trying to be someone for people all the time
mm.
and realizing that's not what God wants
right.
me to do. He
right.
just wants me to be me for him.
Yeah.
And the freedom that I found in that
mm.
of just, like, letting myself go and maybe make a fool of myself
right.
Is, like, so freeing. And that's mm-hmm. the ultimate joy. Now, that story's different for a Bradley, for a Hope, for a Manna, for mm-hmm. Katie. Like, they all have their own. So when it comes to picking songs, I'm always the guy that's picking, like, the newest upbeat, fun,
mm-hmm.
whatever, let's party song. Oh, I can imagine, like, the rally towels on this one and the confetti cannons and we're jumping and we're having the praise pits, you know, and all that stuff. While, like, maybe some of the gals, they're oftentimes much slower and very, like, epic, emotional,
intentional,
deep. Yeah. And so, like, which is awesome. And it's funny because, like, we'll send songs. We've got threads and we're all over the place. And, like, mine are always tend to be the same and theirs tend to be the same. And it's like, do you even listen to the one that I sent you? And it's funny because we have to be proactive then of, like, oh, no, actually, like, we want to think of these four songs.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very intentional about having a system that we are collectively discerning
mm-hmm.
what songs to bring. Because if it was just one, like, man, right. you guys, you'd be burning a lot of calories at a
right.
worship set that all songs that I picked, you know? And then the other ones would be like, you just went through the most emotional,
right.
mental,
yep.
whatever state, you know, just very emo songs that yep. are all like 12 and a half minutes long. So we worked together and then we were able to figure out, like, here's the system of picking
right.
songs that works for us as a team or for
mm-hmm.
the church. It's not just individual. And ultimately what really happens is, they help me be better at, like, yeah, I love that song. What'd you like about it? Well, the drums were sick and had an awesome hook lead line. And
right.
I can see that they're like, yeah, but did you look at the lyrics? And I'm like, well, yeah, I get around to that. They're like, well, they don't say anything. And
yeah.
like, actually this line, I don't know that I completely agree with. And
yeah.
like, where is this rooted in scripture?
Yeah.
And so, like, oh, those are really important things.
Right.
I'm glad that I have a team that, like, some, like, we had a Pascal that used to be with us. She always did a good job of vetting all the songs that we'd say
yeah.
that we'd present. And she'd vet them just looking at lyrics.
Mm.
She'd never even listen to it. She would just look at the lyrics. And that
right.
was, like, such
That's
a good,
awesome. Yeah.
Like, we needed that.
Mm-hmm.
I need that.
Yeah.
And so having that as a team, then we can collectively
mm-hmm.
Put down each other's personal preferences. Like, where does this,
right.
where does this fit in
right.
the song bank, to have a healthy song bank sharing the full gospel of who God is and what Jesus has done for us, to present at
mm-hmm.
Power Connection or present here at Sunday or here
right.
Wednesday night or Sunday night.
Right.
So I don't know if that
yeah
Helps.
And the fact that you have different voices speaking into the overall goal, the same goal,
Yes.
and knowing that it's okay to challenge and sometimes be on a different side of it.
Yeah.
So
Well,
that's
it's
huge.
so important because I'd actually say like if you're around here at Orchard long enough, sometimes you'll hear people say like, "Well, what do you guys even believe anyway?" And the short of it is like, well, we believe in the Apostles' Creed, so you can look that up. It's in the Bible. That's what we believe. And then also just look at the songs that we sing because that's part of our liturgy. And liturgy, in the simplest form, it's the order of worship. And so when we think of picking songs, whether it's for a conference, a session, a Sunday, a youth night, we want to make sure we actually believe what we do is we're pastors, we're worship pastors, and we're helping people form their thoughts and learn about who God is and what he's done. And so the words that we're singing are very important, and we want to make sure that we share the whole gospel. We want a full meal, not just the appetizers or desserts. So we need to make sure that we have songs that talk about who God is. We have songs that talk about what he's done for us through Jesus and our brokenness, and that we also have songs of then responding to who God is. And so kind of having that filter of making sure that helps us shape our song diet. So it's giving wherever we're at, we're giving the full meal, the full gospel.
That's good. That's good. Well, Tim, I got one last question, and that's it.
Okay.
Is finally, how do you envision the future of your ministry's culture? And what steps are you taking to continually strengthen or evolve it?
Wow, that's a great question. Why didn't you give me all these questions ahead of time again?
I could have been nice and I didn't do it.
How do I see our culture and where do I see it
Going in the
going
future,
in the future?
and how do
Okay.
you strengthen and evolve it?
Yeah.
Because I think over the course of your 20 years, you have evolved. You had to,
Oh
like
yeah.
every ministry has
Oh
to.
yeah. First and foremost, relationships and trust. Relationships, trust. Relationships, trust. I go to bat for everybody on our team. I'm always whether it's to our board or leaders or whatever, like always going up and just with positivity, with excitement, with joy, and trying to lift to them up so other people that I know I already have trust and they trust me. If they haven't had time to build relationships with them, I want them to build that over time relationships, but also letting the superiors or the whatever powers that be know that I trust them helps to empower them. So I believe that relationships is the currency of all ministry. And when I know and care and pray and do life with people, I feel like then I have that trust that I trust them in their thought process and decision making. I trust them to do what they say they're going to do. And they trust me that I'm going to hold them accountable for when they do stuff that they're supposed to do or don't, setting those boundaries up. And it's a lot of, yeah, I mean, trust in the relationships is huge. Some people, they give trust away very easily and quickly. They default to that. And that's definitely me. There's pros and cons to that because you can get burned. But also it's freeing. Like I probably trust people maybe earlier than they even feel like they should be trusted. But that allows them to spread their wings and succeed or fail, of which usually both ways people are learning. Like I knew you could do it and you did it. You just believed in yourself. Or, ooh, I knew that was going to be tough and you tried it. And that was something totally different than how I would have done it. But oh my gosh, I wished I had tried that. Like, I can't believe I'd never thought of that before. And then there's other people that it takes a long time to give trust away. And that's okay too. Usually it just takes time to develop that. So, relationships, trusting relationships, culture of letting go. I'm kind of it's hard for me to let go of things when I feel like they might fail. So, I need to, you just have to have a spirit of like, freedom to failure and like trying new things and being like, it's okay. Well, that didn't work. And that's okay. What'd we learn from it? But also allowing other people to take things off. So cultivating, starting and cultivating like our student ministry worship teams, like it was a process and time for me to learn when to like hand that off to somebody else and then like step away. And then how can I encourage from afar, even if like, wow, that's they're doing things way differently than I used to. But like encourage them and say like that's awesome and lift them up and also be available but not overstepping. Like how can I be someone that they want to consult with and I can share like, well, this is what we've done in the past, but I don't know if that's still applicable,
Right.
you
Yep.
know? So yeah. And again, that's just relationships. That's spending time together. So a lot of our, like when I was leading regular worship team meetings and stuff, I've handed some of those things off as well. I always would as often as possible, meet at like my house or our people's houses. You get to know people in a different way when you're in their space.
Right.
And
Yep.
if they're open to welcoming to open their place up, like there's just something that makes it more comfortable and relaxed, and you get to just know people a little better. So that's something. The younger folks, like, you know, we're getting on to be as old as I am. Like some of them, whew, I mean, my son's on the worship team now,
Right.
you know?
Yep.
So, like how, I don't know. Students and youth these days are, they're the best at smelling out fakes. And I think they just want the real thing as much as possible. So how can I be real and authentic and not work too hard on trying to be like cool and relevant? Because I'm not cool and I'm not relevant, especially to my kids. But I can be there. I can show up. I can talk to people. I can ask who their name is, introduce myself. Then the younger ones that we have like developing in our worship teams, like how can I let them lead me? We talk a lot about that point person. And what's unique about our team is, yeah, I'm the point person for the collective. But 2 nights ago, we had a worship team practice, and I just was stepping in to play drums. And our youngest worship staffer was the point person. And I defaulted all questions and authority, and I submitted to her because in that place, she had the point leader hat on.
Right,
And
right.
that's a really cool way for us to learn and grow together when we identify who's wearing the point hat and
Right.
how can I make sure I'm not accidentally sabotaging their growth and their
Right.
leadership. When there's other people on the team that have been around 5, 10, 20 years and they default to looking to me, well, I don't know, Tim, what do you think we should do in there? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. We should really let Emma make that call since she's leading us. What do you think, Emma? So there's a lot of that.
And I think that, again, it comes back to the overall culture that you created, that you trust your people, they have the competency, the character, all of that, and it comes into play. So, yeah, it's, again, it's something that we've been able to witness at our events, and whether it's from the stage or off the stage, like I say this over and over, that, we could have gone out and we could hire other bands or, bring in like contemporary Christian artists or anything like that. But what we've seen is not necessarily the same thing on the stage and off. With you guys, you're the real deal, and you continue to do it. And so, yeah,
Try to.
it's what it is, and it's the culture you created.
Well, we love doing it, and it's really some of our highlights of the year, of every year when we get to do stuff with you guys, partnering with you guys and knowing who you are on and off the clock per se. Yeah, it's a special joy and we have fun together. Last thing I always say, like for all of our worship teammates with the collective too, is we're only as good at leading people in worship as we are when we're off the stage. And so who you see I am at the grocery store dealing with my kids that are cranky, or who you see I am when I'm helping to coach, you know, a soccer game, when I run into you at the gas station, like all that's actually impacts my ability to lead people in worship on the stage. Because we can all say the right things, wear the right things, pray the right things. But if we're wearing masks all the time, that doesn't help anybody. And so yeah, it's who we are authentically on and off stage is what helps us. Man, we just love hanging out and doing stuff with you guys. I was gonna say one last thing. Like, yeah, we're the collect. Like, we finally came up with a name. Because here's the deal: we're not trying to be anybody. That's one difference. Like, we're not putting albums out, and we're not trying to push our own songs. But you know, you guys have said it's nice sometimes for people to have like a shirt or some piece of memorabilia. I can't even
There
say
it
it.
is.
To take home with them, right? Because it helps us remember moments, and music helps us remember moments. And so we want to help with that. So yeah, we came up with a fancy name and t-shirts and hoodies and stickers, which is great. We love them. We love to wear our stuff too. But just so you guys know, we're not trying to be anybody. And so actually we use all those proceeds to help invest in the next worship leaders. And so our interns, we don't pay them here, but we use the proceeds from the collective stuff to actually help bring them along to conferences and resource them with materials or books or instrument stuff. So
That's
we really
awesome.
appreciate that you guys are on board with that and help us out. And like, that's kind of a cool thing. When you buy an Orchard Hill t-shirt, you're actually helping to support us developing the next worship leaders.
That's
So
awesome. That's awesome. Very cool. Well, thanks, Tim, for taking the time. And of
absolutely.
course, we'll do another podcast with your entire team because I'm sure they'll say a lot of things about the dad mode that you have to be in.
Yes, hopefully. Yeah. They'll do a great job making fun of me, which is great. I deserve every bit of it.
It's all part of the team.
That's right.